back to the BPMO podcast. We're walking through John Maxwell's book, Developing the Leader Within You 2.0. We have David Helps with us, so thank you again, David, for joining us. David is the Chief of Staff over at the Project Management Office for South Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. So we are honored to have you here, sharing your knowledge and experience. So thank you.
Glad to be here. Much.
All right. So we just spent three episodes on problem solving. So now, instead of talking about problems with us, problems with other people, and finding opportunities, we're going to talk about the quickest way to gain leadership, which, according to John Maxwell, is going through ways to solve problems. That when you solve problems, you gain leadership, you gain cred. So we're gonna just dive right in, if that's okay with you.
Yeah,
you ready?
That works.
All right.
That's good.
So we're gonna walk through some solution approaches. So how do you solve problems? If you have a problem, what's a good framework? We're gonna give you the John Maxwell framework for ways to solve problems, which will help you build your leadership skills. First point, creating a framework to examine the problem. So the framework that he pitches is when you look at a problem, you need to run it through six basic things. First, leadership. You need to ask yourself, how does this problem affect our people? You need to look at it from a personnel point of view. Do we have the right people engaged? We talked a lot about that over the last few weeks. Timing, we didn't talk too much about this, but is this the right time, and do we have enough time to solve this problem? Sometimes, I know it sucks, but sometimes we gotta circle back and pick that up, and it's a good question to ask. Is this the right time?
Yes.
You could have the right solution at the wrong time. We need to ask, is this the right time? Understanding the vision, which is something you hit on several episodes ago. I think you've hit on this actually several times.
Yes.
which is keeping the team focused on what is the goal? What is the vision? Yeah. Right? If I solve, and this is an extreme example, but if I solve how to cook a grilled cheese sandwich, does this really help us meet our vision of ending world hunger? Not necessarily. You know, if I tell somebody this is how you build a car, is this going to help me with robotics on getting a device of some sort to Mars? You know, we need to not try to solve all problems, but keep it focused on the vision.
Yeah.
Priorities. Oh, I hit this one all the time, and I wasn't the first to say it, and I know I won't be the last, but I'm going to say it anyway. If everything is the priority, nothing is a priority. Leaders are responsible for setting priorities. You need to tell your team what is really important. If everything that comes out of your mouth is, we got to do this now, do it now, do it now, do it now. If everything is a super high priority, then that means everything is equal, and therefore it doesn't provide leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then values.
Mm-hmm.
Not ignoring that you and your team have certain personal values. And is this problem or solution to the problem consistent with those values? If not, you may not be the right one to do this. All right, so there's his framework. That's the John Maxwell framework for how to examine problems and solutions. So we're going to talk the specifics of how you do it.
If we could only start with this framework on every project,
especially part of your project plan,
especially timing and priorities.
Mm.
If we could start with this framework on every project, wouldn't our lives be so much easier?
I think it would. It would avoid things being brought to us, because people would say, well, that really doesn't have anything to do with the project.
Yeah, or you know what? Maybe we shouldn't worry about this right now when we don't even have the infrastructure to even do that, what we're thinking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
Timing? Oh my gosh. I don't know how many projects I have seen come through a PMO that I'm sitting there scratching my head going, why are we talking about this right now?
Yep.
Whose pet project is this? Whose pet project is this that they're using as a stepping stone to their next place? If we could actually come to discuss and frame projects from these six lenses before we even talk about it being a project? Do you know how many things we could actually accomplish successfully?
Many. And a better use of the money.
And a better use of the money and a better drive of what it is that we are actually trying to accomplish in our jobs and in our organizations and in our companies.
Yep.
And in our agencies.
Yep.
I mean,
it's incredible, isn't it?
The actual impact we could have on our customers and our citizens. So I'm talking not just public sector, which is most of my background, as most of y'all know, but I'm talking private sector too. If we could come to the charter thinking about these things to begin with, framed in this manner, mm-hmm. we could actually cut out the stuff that we know we don't need and work on the things that are the most impactful and the things that will make the biggest benefit for our customers and our citizens.
So it sounds like you're talking about the project intake process.
Yes.
I mean, among other things, like if you put this into the project intake process, you'd have a lot more garbage thrown out and you'd have projects that are more meaningful and targeted.
Yes.
I have a client, and I'm gonna leave out names, as we always do. We leave out names because there's lessons learned, and we're not criticizing necessarily the past. We're learning from it.
Which is right? The goal.
That's the goal. But just to share in this example of a project intake process is there's an electronic health record system that was needed for one of my clients.
Yeah.
And they happened to be flush with money at the time. And it was not just any money. It was money that it was use it or lose it.
Yeah.
And so they went out, and before the project even started, they went out and signed a contract that was for a full-blown hospital system that would be like in a major city. Uh-huh. Or it would even be in a region of states. It's not a bad solution, especially in electronic health records. It's still very much developing. But they went out and bought this big system and then shoved it into a project.
Yep.
And you can see how the problems would have come out. When we really flushed this out several years later, we started noticing we're only using maybe 5-10% of the functionality.
Exactly.
But we implemented such a much bigger process. If they had gone through this framework mm-hmm. and said, what do we really need? And they walked through all these questions, we probably would have went with something that's like used by, you know, local pharmacies.
Yeah.
You know,
think about all the man hours that were wasted coming to that.
Thousands. You're literally talking about thousands. Yeah.
Of, wow, we really don't need this or that or this. We just need
these elements and we would have been fine. Again, this is lesson learned.
Yeah.
But if we were to put this framework into a project intake process, definitely would have helped.
Yeah.
All right. So going on to the next one in terms of a solution approach would be, value shared problem solving. So kind of like we said before, the best problem solver, you don't work alone in this. And he makes a big thing about removing silos. Mm-hmm. And I've had other clients in the past too that they're major, major silos. Silo is almost a buzzword, but we still have them. Somehow, I don't know if we just naturally want to compartmentalize and not work with the others around us. Operationally, you know, you really want to define your role so you can have success in that role. And it seems like a side effect of that is a silo.
Yes.
So as project managers, we have to dip into each of those silos, which means we really have to get rid of the silos.
Correct.
If we're going to pull it in.
We have to. We have to knock the silos out of the way. For as many decades, because I know my dad talked about silos and the ills of silos back when he was working years ago. I remember sitting and listening to him complain and talk about the issues at work because of the silos and stuff like that. And here we are, I'm still dealing with this.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to deal with it after us. They are. You're right.
There is something that has to be drawn out about why this group of people in this organization or this agency is doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something, some purpose.
Some driver, right? Yeah.
But at the same time, what they do for your organization, your company, and or your agency cannot live in a vacuum. If it does, then it's just a small company in and of itself, which is why we have issues addressing full picture solutions, because everything, so you're right, there needs to be a drawing up of why this group is in existence, but there also has to be an understanding and a broader based discussion of the values of the organization as a whole. And based on those broader values, that's where the silo has to have open slots that can go between each other.
Yes.
It's got to connect based on the value of what it is that we're trying to accomplish as individuals, as divisions, and as the broader organization and our company. And we've got to figure that out. We've got to figure out how to have that unit working smoothly, but have the cross sections occurring smoothly.
Yes, definitely. So we're talking break down silos, have multiple people working on the problem. Mm-hmm. The other things that he points out in here, as the leader, be the coach, not a king.
Yes.
You know, bring people along. You know, you sometimes people just think that if they're the leader, then they have to be the source of all good. And it's just not the case. It's not even close.
No.
Thankfully, it's not even close. Or I wouldn't have enough to pay for my meals.
Yeah.
And then the last two is one, creating an environment where people are encouraged to speak up.
Yes.
And then once you have the problem, socializing it before you actually formally pitch it.
Yes.
So
it's those rods that go across the silos. That's what you're talking about here. You're talking about getting everybody to acknowledge that there has to be this broader base of work and understanding. And then at that, everybody has to be empowered to bring to the forefront the possible solutions that we have, that then we can use across all the sectors that are involved. And by doing that, you're going to build up that next group that's going to take that company into the future.
Absolutely. All right, so John Maxwell does that. I'm gonna summarize this next one a little bit because he doesn't say this. This is Tony going to say this. Basically, what I think John is advocating without actually saying it is that we have to be willing to take one step down in order to take two steps up when we talk about leading our teams through it. And now this part is what John Maxwell did say, is that when you are leading your team through problem solving, you're actually trying to solve the problems.
Mm-hmm.
First, you imagine you're talking to your team. And again, this is another framework thing. But you're talking to your team and everybody's sitting around a table going, we don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Then you as the leader say, yeah, there is no answer to this. You know, we seem to have to solve it. There could be an answer though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken a step down to join the team in the pit where they're at and said, you know, you're right, there is no answer. Then I go, but there could be an answer. And after I say there could be an answer and people go, well, maybe there could be an answer. You go, yeah, I have an idea.
Yep.
And you start talking about an idea. Everybody goes, yeah, I have an idea too. I have an idea too. And you go, well, so then there is an answer.
Yeah.
So we took a step down in order to take two steps up.
Yes.
And then he goes back to, well, once we know that there's an answer and I have multiple ideas, then there could be maybe more answers. Now see how far away we are from there is no answer.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone from there is no answer to there could be an answer. So I have an idea to there is an answer. There could be more answers. Well, if there's more answers, I have more ideas. Now that we have multiple answers, I can have multiple ideas. Well, if I have multiple ideas, then there's more answers.
Yes.
So now I've gone from there is no answer to there's multiple answers.
Oh, yeah.
And once there's multiple answers, there has to be a better idea.
Yes.
Now, this is again a framework. As the leader, you're taking your team through this thought process. This may not be one conversation.
No.
Right?
Could be several.
Have you ever had to use this framework? Maybe not to the letter, but in function?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, my thought process here is that this is where we as leaders need to be that facilitator. The facilitator of ideas, the facilitator of pushing the envelope, the facilitator of getting people to think beyond what they're currently capable of. So taking that step back, saying, well, then we can't move forward. But I have a hard time believing that we can't move forward from this. Well, no, we're not saying we can't move forward. What we're saying is without doing this, oh, wait, that's interesting. Okay, so if we did that, where would we move to? Right? So it's that facilitation of the conversations with the right people in the room to go past that initial, I don't know what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
That's what it's about.
All right, so good discussion. Definitely not one of our 25-minute chats, but this kind of gives a couple of frameworks for people to follow in this. So I'm going to leave this one with one story here. It comes from John F. Kennedy. Regardless of your politics, I think this is a hilarious answer. And it's about cultivating action. And I think most people in project management know this. You can't just be all about talking about solutions. You have to implement the solution.
Yes.
And so the story is John F. K. Jr. Or was it Jr.? No, F. Kennedy. Yeah. John F. Kennedy himself. They said, how did you become a war hero? And he said, well, it's easy. Somebody sunk my boat. So if the lesson here is see the opportunities in midst of the problems.
Wow. Yep.
You can't become a war hero if something bad
didn't happen to you.
I like that. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Again, this is giving you a couple ideas of frameworks on how to solve problems. When we wrap up this session, then the next one is going to be about attitude. The leadership attitude. So this is the icing on the cake. So join us next episode. Thanks again, David. And we'll see you all at the next episode. Have a good day.